Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Once you don't have a board in place, you don't have the technical expertise, you're not likely to get approval for the kind of budgets that allow heavy investment because there's likely to be a cap on what you can do by yourself. It has serious implications on the speed with which the Special Prosecutor's Office can deliver on its mandate. And that office is becoming even much more relevant given the number of incidents that have come up and the public has raised their voices, then there's an interest being taken on. For those cases to be investigated in the short term and for the Special Prosecutor to come back with feedback to update the public and therefore to move the process forward to, let's say, prosecution and what have you, the board ought to be in place. 9 months is too many months gone quiet, especially when we know that the various agencies have submitted some name already. Yes.
It's frozen the assets of Sir John. I'm bound to say he has done very well. But I think that he also, he has not done as much as I expected. Because if the board was not being constituted, he should have come out. So we also want to tell him that, look, next time he should be more forthright. Because he's supposed to be independent. So if he doesn't have a board and he's quiet about it, I mean, it's not a good thing. Mr. Kitie Jabin was earning a living as a private legal practitioner. I don't expect that he'll be cozy with government. If your board is not being constituted, come out. Okay? So, yes, I'm very excited that he's closing the assets of John. But in the same breath, I'm not happy at all that he kept me.
I am puzzled by the whole issue of the board because we submitted the nominee for the anti-corruption organizations in March. And I know that all the agencies have also submitted their nominations. So I don't understand why just the inauguration is becoming a problem. It would definitely be a big problem for the OSP because the way the governance architecture is designed for him to get in senior officers, directors, and so on. He needs the advice of the board. And without that, they cannot legitimately sort of work. So I really, it's a puzzle to me why this has dragged on. I really urge and appeal to government to really just, I mean, within a few days, just get this inauguration done so that he can get on with his work.
Some will say these are the very basics for the office to function. But after all these years, the issue about whether we are really serious about the fight against corruption comes up. Are we really serious about it?
I think that's the question, and it's the right question to ask because, you know, we cannot keep making these statements that the OSP is one of our key interventions for fighting corruption, and yet our actions don't speak loud enough that we want to make that institution work. So I really think that this is not good, even in terms of the resources. Yes, I know that the situation is very difficult for the finance ministry and everyone, but the OSP's mandate and, you know, from a preventive point of view, even in recovering assets of proceeds of crime, I think it's an investment that the government has to make so that even if money is tight, the OSP has to be prioritized in the way in which monies are released. It's not particularly because he has to do a lot of heavy, you know, lifting at the beginning because the office is now being set up. He needs his resources very early. If he's released in this way, he cannot really operate.
We in civil society or you citizens are not putting enough pressure on the president to do what he's expected to do. Some of us have talked about it on air, but We need the anti-corruption and other institutions to come up with press releases calling on the president to appoint the board. My checks have shown that president say, oh, those who are there should continue. But you haven't made that statement publicly. You need to officially announce that they should go ahead and even inaugurate them again. Besides, some of the people on the board are no longer with their institutions. They were representing their institutions and they are proceeding on retirement. So you need to ask them to replace those people. And if those are coming in, they need to be inaugurated and even to declare their assets. So much as you may want to blame citizens, the president has a list of institutions that is required by law to appoint boards of directors and inaugurate them. Why is he not doing it?
Right, so you've been listening to Martin Pebu, Dr. Kojo Pumpuni Asante, Vitus Azim, and Adam Senanu on the absence of a board for the OSP, as well as the lack of equipment and facility for it to be able to work and do the work the way he feels, or that office feels, is important. The OSP made a request for the approval of 1 billion Ghana cedis. That's the budget it sought to set up the office, build a cybersecurity and forensic lab, and cells to keep suspects, and also purchase other logistics. As we understand, the Minister of Finance committed only about 170 million, out of which only 10 million has been released. Only 10 million has been released. People are asking questions if we can have as much as 25 million and a whole lot more even ahead. You know, money in excess of 70 million to commit to building a cathedral, which we said is for the churches to do. Why not equipped to fight the corruption? So people are asking the question. The president, in his campaign, said that doing this office was a very important way to fight corruption. So he made a promise. And when he came into office, followed it up quickly, the law was passed. So why must it take CSOs and other individuals to put pressure on him to make the institution he believes will fight corruption, because he came to fight corruption, to work? Some just don't understand how that works. Okay, maybe my guests who are joining me now may have some answers to that. Mary Awalana Ada is Programs Manager, Ghana Integrity Initiative. Professor Kojua Piejetia is with the School of Law, University of Ghana. And here in the studio is Joseph Dindiok Penka, former Deputy Attorney General and Minister for Justice. We'll also be joined by Samuel Okudjeto Ablakwa, MP for North Tong and Ranking Member, Foreign Affairs Committee of Parliament. Thank you very much. Now, Mary, that's the question I really ask. Why should it be the job of anybody to pressurize a president that made this the most important tool to fight corruption, campaigned on it, and told the whole world that I promise, I have delivered, and I'm fighting corruption for you? Why should anybody be the one to pressurize him to make it functional?
Thank you very much, Samson. Let me say good morning to your viewers and also the other panelists. And that is the million-dollar question we should be asking the president. It is interesting, somehow mind-boggling, that for a president who decided that our current circumstances and the constitution, the best way to go was for the establishment of an office that will promote the fight against corruption, and as quickly as 2017, ensured that that box was ticked and started work. Somehow things didn't go well. But then in his second term, he has appointed somebody who as well has shown that he is committed to fight corruption. So you ask yourself, what at all is the serious stuff that we need to ensure that we constitute the board. 9 months after the person has taken office, and let's say that about 3 months after the list for the various institutions that are supposed to constitute the OSP board have been submitted to the chief of staff. After several reminders have been sent, let's be very frank and say that it is no more interesting at all. We should call a spade a spade and say that our president, even though he has promised to fight corruption, has not shown that significantly per his action when it comes to the office of the special prosecutor. I say so because the composition of the board is such that it is institutional. And so the institutions present the list, and the list is submitted to the presidency so that these people are sworn in to take charge of the office. And I'm saying that the commitment is not being shown by action, because if this gentleman is supposed to work, the board should give him strategic guidance and direction. Again, per his act, the board is supposed to ensure that they advise him on recruitment, particularly of certain staff. And I was seeing on another Joy platform that I have personally been to that office on 2-3 occasions. And on the beautiful building he has been assigned, which is true, 9-floor building, it is just the 9th floor that is being fit for purpose for now, where they are using. The other floors are supposed to be retrofitted for his purposes. He does not have the staff to work with. How on earth can we say that in certain instances, this person with just a few people he is working with can execute the mandate for which we have given him? It is surprising that this is happening, and it's not pleasurable at all to speak to, because there is nothing. It's not like you are picking from a list of people and you need to select to please people and make others happy, or the fear of not making others happy. That is not the case. This is a very straightforward matter. Institutions have presented their list. Whether you like them or not, these institutions have presented as the mandate of the act is saying. They have sent the list. Why won't you inaugurate them to carry on with their work? And if they do not do, then we come back to say that then it is the board which is not functioning well. But in this case, the challenge is with the presidency. And the $1 million question is for the president to answer to, because I do not see the hindrance whatsoever. And the special prosecutor is currently showing that he would do the work.
Even in such circumstances, would you say it is fair, the accusation that this is a testament that the president is only paying lip service to this fight and nothing more?
Something, I would say that in some instances he has done something, and the analysis would show that he has done something. By even setting up the office, he has ticked that box. He indicated he has been the president who has provided more resources to the institutions. And Strike, for instance, has mentioned in the past that this is true per the trend. Unfortunately, fighting corruption goes beyond just giving a little money. When people want 1 billion, you give them 170 million. It's not commitment enough. When the president said he was going to fight corruption, the people of Ghana trusted him on those promises he made per his campaign. Mm. And we voted for him on that. And so the mantra, seriously, is just too much. Talking. Mm. And the action is not showing.
Well, you
now
say
that somebody wants to show action. Mm. Let them say that. So when people say, to conclude, when people say that the president is talking without matching the talk with action, in a lot of instances, perhaps maybe more than half of it, it is the case.
All right. You say the government has given 170 million instead of the 1 billion that the OSP sought. The fact is that the government has committed 170. It hasn't given 170. It has given only 10 million. Now,
yes,
the question...
Even the 10 million, even the 10 million from my church, I do not think from January to June, they have received 10 million.
Okay.
I may be proved wrong, but they have not received that 10 million at an office. If that is not correct, perhaps they can correct that impression. And we are talking about 6 months into the year. And this office needs to start work. We know for a fact,
okay,
just like I
indicated. Well, what we know is that 10 million has been released by the ministry. So if they have not, you know, as it were, secured that money yet, then that would be another issue. But the question, the next question is this. We understand that the OSP feels that the new OSP feels that he needs to build a separate, independent cybersecurity and forensic laboratory. He's come under, you know, some challenge where others say, well, others have these laboratories already. You should just, you know, try and make do with what the police may have, what may be the is it the Bank of Ghana somewhere, that institution with the FIC also has. The Financial Intelligence Unit may also have. The OSP's justification, we have heard from elsewhere, from sources within the OSP, is that, look, we need to have an independent lab. We don't want to mix up with any other people because we see how ineffective things are going on. For example, in the Ejeni Mbwating Ejie situation, where his over 440 million was frozen, anytime money hit his account, within the very short time that he was getting all these monies that were deemed to be, you know, corrupt money, anytime money hit his bank account, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars into his accounts, the banks will give the necessary alert because they are required by law to alert the Financial Intelligence Unit. They'll give the necessary alert, but it looks like people were not taking action. And they feel that they want to be independent in this. They don't want to use people's things where people will see the things they do and might alert, you know, criminal suspects to get away. Do you think it is a fair thing to ask for that they should be giving a new one altogether, independent from the one or two that is in the country already?
If we want to fight corruption, then we must show some seriousness. This is what the gentleman says he needs. And I couldn't agree more, particularly when we know that in the past, things have not happened right. The gentleman you referenced, we know that assets that were frozen got unfrozen. And if the OSP has his own logistics to track some of these, I believe this wouldn't have happened. And so if he says he needs an independent forensic lab, let the people of Ghana invest in this. Fighting corruption is an expensive venture. But let us remember that the money we lose yearly to corruption is so huge that what we should be investing in ensuring that we don't lose those monies would be just a peanut compared to what we are losing already when we look at the monies that are being drained out of the national kitty due to corruption. And so if you say that they want a forensic lab, I believe it is not too much to ask. And as a people, if we believe that we are prioritizing the fight against corruption, then it is not wrong that we invest in this to ensure that he tackles the monster of corruption going forward.
Right.
Again, let me say, admittedly, our resources are not in a good place for now. But that does not mean that his request is not valid. And let's also go back to compare what is the existing relationship between these anti-corruption and accountability agencies. Is it that rosy? Have they had a relationship where you know for sure that some of these things can happen on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis where every information is flowing? We know that interagency collaboration has not been the best in this country. Mm. And so let's not deceive ourselves that, oh, because the Bank of Ghana has, you would have access to it, it will work like clockwork. I don't believe that is what would happen. Mm. So if what he needs to operationalize the office is given to him, then he would have no reason to justify failure.
Okay.
So let's commit.
All right.
If we are committed to ensure
right.
that we do
However, very final question to you. However, you are the anti-corruption forefront in the NGO space, are happy that despite the constraints, the OSP is beginning to show that it is ready to fight the people who are plundering the state, right?
Certainly. Certainly. We are beginning to see some action. And the action that is being exhibited by the OSP only goes to show that if we give him the needed support and we give him the needed logistics, something will come out of this struggle. And
right.
I believe the trust of the people will then be regained, because it is only when we tackle this monster and tackle those who want to take this nation for a ride, ensuring that they enrich themselves, their cronies, and then those politically exposed persons around them. If we tackle this monster holistically, we would be making some significant inroads. But
Thank
we
you.
Need to support him, and we need to also ensure that we fight corruption by reporting and saying something when we see something going wrong.
Thank you very much. Mary Awalana Ada is Programs Manager, Ghana Integrity Initiative. And we needed to deal with her and let her go because she has some pressing matter to attend to right now. Thank you very much indeed. Professor Kwejo Appiah-Jaitua of the School of Law, University of Ghana, is still with us online. And also here in the studio is Joseph Dendiok Penka, who is former Deputy Attorney General and Minister for Justice. So before we go to Professor Appiah-Jaitua, maybe we should hear from you. You may know better than we do because you are in government, so to speak. So what's going on? Is the president not as interested as he was in a hurry to sign the law into the bill into law and all that? 9 months after he got into office,
thanks,
no board.
Samson, thank you very much for the opportunity. Thanks to my co-panelists on the program. And good morning to our viewers. First of all, Samson, let's situate whatever arguments we are making with respect to the office of the special prosecutor within a certain context, and then we'll get it right. Now, it is agreeable, and there's no debate about it, that as part of his campaign message to Ghanaians, His Excellency Nanadu Danko Akufo-Addo had promised that he was going to ensure that he decoupled this particular function of the Office of Attorney General from that office and cede it to the Office of Special Prosecutor to ensure that the fight against corruption in our country is taken to another level. Mm. That is not in debate at all.
And we all applauded that.
Yes.
Everybody was happy because we know, and it has been confessed even by attorney generals,
yeah.
that the attorneys general,
yeah.
that it is almost impossible,
yes.
for
impossible.
A party person in that office to prosecute their own.
You look at the person in the face that you sit together all the time to,
yeah.
take decisions about your party and all that. You look at the person in the face. Mm. And so if you look at the memorandum that accompanied the bill itself, it states this very clearly, the policy rationale
right.
behind why the Office of the Special Prosecutor was necessary now than ever before. Because right from 92, we found that if you look at political think tanks and other groups, political interest groups and all that, they've all come to the conclusion that there's no debate about it. There is the need for us to have this particular office and have it functioning so that we can take the fight against corruption and corruption-related offenses to another level. Samson, again, you talked about the commitment. Let me first state that when we came into office and His Excellency the President mandated the Office of Attorney General to craft this bill in a manner that it will not sin against Article 88 and all that, it was done with expedition. You remember, I recall that I stated on this platform that I was privileged to lead a delegation to the U.S. to study their system, which is ad hoc anyway, and see how we could replicate that in a better form by having a permanent office, which has culminated in this office that all of us have commended. Now, to the substantive matter as to whether or not the office has been resourced and given what it needs to be able to carry out its mandate as required by the Act. Now, first, let me state that when the Venerable Martin Alamisi Amidu came into office, he was given a small place, and he complained time and again that the space was too small. And quite clearly, I agreed with him that the space was too small for him to be able to operate and carry out his mandate well. So what did His Excellency the President do? You recall again that another state institution that had put up a very magnificent edifice for its office accommodation and etc. had to cede it to the Office of the Special Prosecutor. What does that tell you? Priority. Because that other state institution is in a small accommodation that is not good enough for its status and is not able to accommodate all its staff. They spend so much to put up that magnificent edifice you see. And then His Excellency the President himself comes in and says that, look, where you are for now, that particular state institution, and I'm not afraid of stating it, get fund. Where you are for now is good for you, so remain there for some time. That building you put up to move in, we're going to give that to the special prosecutor.
But I'm sure that the facts as we know them, it's not that the entire building is for the special prosecutor.
No.
They are supposed to use some office.
I mean, of course, you know that, I mean, what are they going to do with that?
And Martin Amidu's argument at the time, if I remember correctly, was that he didn't want to live
with any other institution.
In a premises where he will share with some other institutions.
Yes, right. That was his argument. But the point I'm making is that what has been given to the special prosecutor is enough. The accommodation is enough to accommodate the office and then the staff.
That's right.
So that's the another step we ought to commend. Now, the other step is equipping the office and then recruiting staff.
That's right.
Which started under the old OSP. And of course, he could not completed before he tendered in his resignation until the appointment of Kisi
Ajayi. He barely started the recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they advertised. But before the interviews could be conducted and due diligence done for them to be recruited, he left office. Again, let me state this. When Kisi Ajayi was appointed OSP, I sat on this platform and poured out all the accolades on him. And I said, as I knew him as a schoolmate in Lagos, he was very much capable and competent to handle that job. There were questions about age. You recall, today, by some of the moves that have been made so far, some of us feel vindicated. And we think that, given the support, he will take the fight against corruption to another level.
Indeed, I am not in any doubt at all. Is it not too early to be feeling vindicated?
Yesterday, I had a conversation with another friend, and he said a similar thing as you are raising, that it was too early to start celebrating the success of the Office of Special Prosecutor as occupied by Kisi Ajayi. And I said that among white people, that chick that will grow to become a big cock is known immediately it is hatched. You know, and the one that will become a weakling is also known immediately it is hatched.
Right. So they've started commendable work. The question now is the needed finances, the board 9 months on is not in, the capacity they need, they can't have it.
Let me just state again that the conclusions that I heard from the panelists and then your good self may be a little erroneous because it hasn't been 9 months. It has been 9 months since he went into office, but it hasn't been 9 months since the board expired. And if you recall, one of the anti-corruption agencies head stated,
Vatis Azim.
Yes, he stated that they presented the name in March.
No, but Mary actually said that everything was ready 3 months ago.
Yes. Mm. So assuming that it was ready 3 months ago, we could not stretch it to 9 months ago, you know. So yes, the Office of Special Prosecutor needs the board now than ever before, because as rightly pointed out, without the board, he's unable to take major decisions, because he's only able to take administrative decisions that confine him to his limit as far as spending is concerned and etc. But again, remember that this is a very sensitive state institution. And after the other agencies have appointed their representatives as mandated by the Act, it's the Office of the President is also supposed to appoint some people in addition to, so that the whole board will be properly constituted. And remember that the President's office has to also be cautious and careful to appoint people of high integrity and moral standing who will be able to assist the Office of Special Prosecutor to carry out the mandate as mandated by the Act. If you rush to appoint people who go there and have questions to answer, then it will defeat the very purpose for which you are supposed to do that. You may say that, yes, there's undue delay, but sometimes it is done because you need to do due diligence to clear those who are supposed to be appointed to such positions because of the sensitive nature of that particular mandate that you're supposed to carry out as an appointee of government. So it is better to take your time, do due diligence, and appoint these people than rush and appoint people who will have questions to answer, and then another round of debate will begin so that we'll have an unending piece of debate among ourselves. So I will say that, yes, there may have been some delay in the appointments, but it is for due diligence to be conducted. And I know sooner than later, the board will be inaugurated and this will become history so that they can assist the special prosecutor to carry out his mandate. You also spoke about
so finance. We take this as the official response.
Oh, sooner than later.
That it is because of the sensitive nature of the office.
Yes. And
they need to be careful who to appoint.
Yes.
But the law has listed those who will come onto the board already.
Yes, but
it
I'm saying that
this institution brings this institution brings, and then there will be a chairperson.
Yes, but that's why I'm saying that there are a number of them supposed to be appointed by the office of the president. Mm. The president is mandated to appoint some.
Right.
Yes, the state is not only the anti-corruption institutions and other state institutions. You recall that, for example, we have a rep from IOCO, we have a rep from the office of those who are mandated to look at drug regulations in this particular country, the police service, they are represented, and etc. So those institutions, very easy to present their names because they have, and remember that even also when those institutions have presented their names, there has to be some security checks on their background to ascertain whether or not they have any questions.
I think we should go to the question of the funding.
Yes, I'm moving there. Mm. So now to the question of funding, something again, I have been in Parliament, I've been privileged to be in Parliament for 4 years.
I'm trying to recap the law, but because as far as I know, I think there's none that the President appoints.
The President is supposed to appoint, I can tell you for sure.
Okay, because let me bring up the law and then we'll look at the particular portion. Okay,
so,
go ahead.
So the funding aspect, you see, you may be talking about how much has been released and etc. But I don't know of any state institution, as far as I've been in Parliament for 4 years, that requested for a particular amount of money or was given everything. I don't know of any such state institution, because we are living within limited resources that are available in the national kitty for distribution to the various agencies and state institutions. Mm. So in the midst of constraints, you have to re-engineer it in a manner that it will distribute to the various agencies so that it does not still affect the management of the. I remember that the Minister of Finance is the one mandated to carry out this particular aspect of our life. So as an agency responsible for this, the ministry is mindful of the fact that it has a certain envelope, and within that envelope has to spend. It cannot spend outside of that. So if the ministry has 10 cities to spend and it has to distribute it among all state institutions, and OSP is giving 170 million, and 10 million of that money has been released. Mm. Subsequently, the other money will be released based on request placed and availability of funding, because the ministry doesn't have an ending funding. It may be unfortunate that they are not resourced enough, but as time evolves, I know for sure that we will meet these things. And when we have fully established the various structures, okay, the prosecutorial, the investigative and asset recovery aspects, you know that they are all departments within the Office of Special Prosecutor. You have those who will do the investigations, those who will do the prosecution, and those who will do the assets recovery. These are all supposed to be under the Office of Special Prosecutor. So when we have finally established all these things, the yearly budgetary allocation definitely will come down because the demand for more money based on staff recruitment, office equipment, staff salary, and etc. will also what reduce. But for a start, you have this huge demand, which you know for sure that it is impossible, okay, mm-hmm. to give all such money at a go to the entity because of competing demands in other equally important departments of state. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the funding has not been adequate, but has been very serious effort on the part of government by way of commitment, getting the office allocation, and et cetera, and the law itself even coming into effect and force and the appointment of the officer to be in charge. Mm-hmm. That mandate alone, and by what the office is doing now, having arraigned a number of individuals before court,
all right,
and actually setting up others again mm-hmm. for investigation and prosecution, mm-hmm. we ought to commend and say there is a step forward,
right,
so that we can engineer.
I think that's not in doubt. Many are commending the OSP already for those steps. The Section 5 talks about those to be sort of appointed, but if you look at it in real terms, it is a selection, seven of all, by the various institutions that have been named, a representative from the Ghana Police Service of a certain rank, a representative of the IOCO of a certain rank, a representative of the Financial Intelligence Center of a certain rank, a representative of SRAJ, one person with a background in intelligence, not below the rank of a director nominated by the minister responsible for national security. There's one person who is a female representing the anti-corruption civil society organization, you know, and then they, together with the OSP and the deputy, will definitely will form the board. But of course, the law will say the president will do this appointment in pursuant to Article 70 of the Act. But in actual sense, they are sort of, if you like, a group of people coming from various institutions outside the OSP. Sorry, let me go to Professor Kojoya Piejetua now. Prof, what do you make of the concerns that are being raised about the funding, the need to set up independent and separate forensic laboratory, create a cell, if you like, call it a holding cell or whatever it is, and the questioning of the board as well. What do you have to say?
Thank you, Sankin, for the opportunity to be with the discussion this morning. So I think that having listened to the discussions and the comments made, my view on the subject is that we should see corruption as a very complex phenomenon, and we should know, identify the beneficiaries and the victims when corruption is in place. We have international actors that benefit from corruption, and we have local actors, we have governments, institutions, and the seat of government itself all being part of the stakeholders when we are talking about the subject matter of corruption. But if corruption would thrive, it's about how the government is properly positioned and the government's commitment to fighting corruption that will make all the difference. Because in a lot of ways, government itself is also a beneficiary of corruption. Sometimes it pays lip service to fighting corruption. So the approach may be different in different jurisdictions or in different ways. In the particular context of Ghana, we see a situation where we have shown the commitment to fight corruption in word and in the law, but in action, it seems to be something different. And because corruption is complex and interconnected, it's connected to the economy, it's connected to
Social status is connected to governance. It is a harder headed problem that needs to be tackled from a perspective that will ensure that we're able to see the results. It is not just the laws that will make the difference, but at the end of the day, what is the substantive results that we can see on the ground? We have seen how the government's record on corruption has come down, looking at the integrity, the corruption watch annual reports that they give. And that tells you that the corruption fight is being waged simply by way of the laws that we have in place. And the laws are not working, or they are not being allowed to work. And so that is what we are, the situation we have now.
You see, yeah, Professor Bafo Ajimendua, Professor Bafo Ajimendua, Chief Executive of the Officer of the John Kufuor Foundation, have joined others expressing a lot of concern, and they speak about worsening corruption. And therefore, this is an organization that you need to give priority attention to and not give any excuses. If the board, the term of the board is to expire, you don't wait for it to expire and then so many months later, you now are constituting the team. That should be done in anticipation. We said a while ago that from what we know from the finance ministry, it does appear that it's 10 million out of the 170 million committed to the institution's budget has been released. But my information now, very credible source, is that it's actually 6 million and not 10 million, even though they asked for 1 billion. It's 6 million, and even that 6 million, it's not with them yet.
Yes, so that is the point. So we can count a slew of laws that are supposed to deal with corruption from different perspectives. We have criminal law, specifically within the Criminal and Other Offenses Acts. We have most recently the most beautiful anti-corruption law we can talk about, probably in the whole world, the OSP office. And we know the constraints that have been put in the way of the office. So it doesn't prove to me, and of course, all well-meaning people, that we are serious about fighting corruption. It's a way of doing some public relations gimmick that we are fighting it, but at the end of the day, we are not. Because corruption keeps governments going. And I'm not saying that the government as a whole is corrupt, but there are some actors within the system. The clientelism is very high. And we have some sort of a new patrimonial system where we have a person at the top as a high figure, and people are feeding off this person consciously or unconsciously without the connivance of the person in power. But because the structures have been weakened and compliance have been low and implementation is poor, these things happen sometimes on the blind side of the president and some of his people. We know, for example, that the president has been declaring his assets, mm-hmm. but a whole number of ministers have not been doing that. And so what does that tell you? It tells us that there's some weaknesses in the system that are being exploited. We can look at the case of the Ajayi Boateng example. So at the end of the day, we should look at the institutions, the structures, the personnel, and the society's perception and appreciation, and whether they trust such an office to work. Because at the end of the day, it's a society that is going to give the information to the institution to be able to then fish out and investigate and prosecute the people. If the trust to the society is not there, we have a problem. Mm. The personnel, we can have the personnel, but if that person is not committed, we are seeing a good signs that Mr. Kisejabi will make the thing work, will make the office work. Mm. So personnel leadership is critical. But at the end of the day, the stumbling blocks put in the way of Mr. Martin Amidu should not be forgotten. The fact that there will be other investigations going on alongside this, reports that a complaint has been issued to him. And this on the side investigation team come up with this report before that of the office of the OSP, the OSP, and then we see a situation where it will compromise the ability of the OSP to come up with its own
Let's move away from Martin. And Martin had his own issues, including that he didn't want to share with whatever. But we understand that the new building now, that whole edifice, is for this dedicated to the OSP's office. Now, for a president, like Penka just said, a president who has gone all this way to ensure that this beautiful edifice, is it 9 story or so, has been made available, and the institution that put it up has been deprived of its use. That sounds like priority. A president who set up this institution and then, you know, appointed quote-unquote his enemy, opponent, to be the foundation special prosecutor. All of that shows commitment. So if they need 1 billion and they've been there's been a commitment of 170, and halfway into the year, only 6 million has been released, and even the 6 million has not hit the account, should the suspicion be that this is deliberate, intended to sort of muzzle them from being able to operate?
That is exactly my point. It is deliberate, and it is designed to ensure that the office will not function and function properly. Because if it is functioning properly, like I said, corruption is tied to governance. And governance, as one political scientist puts it, it's about self-interest, but it's about the level of self-interest that we're talking about, and also the institutions that are in place to check the self-interest or the execution of a self-interest agenda. So if we have a situation where in our current political system, corruption thrives because governance thrives on corruption, then those who are working with the government are benefiting from the corruption that is ongoing. And therefore, they will not make the system work, because if it works, then they are going to be exposed. If you look at the current situation, how much we lose through corruption, one statistic indicates that we lose $3 billion a year through corruption. The office needs 1 billion cedis to do its work, and we are going to save $3 billion a year. We are talking about how much we can get from e-levy and so on. Corruption can be, tackling corruption can be a major way of saving the country so much money. And corruption doesn't only affect governance or the economy. It affects crime, transnational organized crime. Corruption is a system on its own that people use to make profit, but it also aids in the commission of other crimes. So that is why it should be given priority attention more than any other activity that we see the government embarking on. Because at the end of the day, if it is properly set up and it is working, it's going to weed out the corrupt personnel and the corrupt systems that are taking place. And Ghana will be the better place for it.
Well let's you know, pretend for a moment that even the 6 million halfway into the year has been released. The 1 billion that he seeks as a budget to make his office a lot more, as it were, functional, is that not asking too much of a country whose economy is hit in the manner we are now after COVID and now Ukraine and, you know, the usual, you know, suspects when it comes to the economy that is suffering? Isn't 1 billion not for his office in that building? And the idea is that why don't you share with other people, interministerial or inter...
I hope-